Whether it's slots or live dealers, SpinQuest.com has the fun and action you're looking for with SpinQuest exclusives, blackjack, roulette, baccarat, and even live dice with craps and bubble craps. The games never stop, so you don't have to. And right now, new users get $30 coin packs for just $10. Play now at SpinQuest.com.
SpinQuest is a free-to-play social casino. Void where prohibited. Visit SpinQuest.com for more details.
Hour number three, Darren, Donick, and Chase on this Monday afternoon. At this time on Mondays, we bring up our buddy Vince Ferrara, the sports animal, WNML in Knoxville, to talk all things Vols. Vinny, how you doing?
Good, guys. How you doing?
Well, better than Rick Barnes and Tennessee's basketball team. That was not good on Saturday. Not good at all. Bruce Pearl continues to have his way with Tennessee. Yikes. Tennessee made their run in the second half. They got what? Did they get within five, maybe six?
Right.
And then Auburn just kind of took over from there.
And what's crazy is that Auburn's run started like after they got their third significant player with four fouls. And they're not an exceptionally deep team, but Doughty was so good they couldn't keep him in front of them. And then, you know, they just didn't handle ball screens with him well. A couple times just left him wide open with breakdowns. Just didn't have an answer for that kid. And, you know, he's an all-SEC player. But, you know, just certain matchups really give Tennessee a lot of difficulty. And they just did not have answers in that game. I don't know if they ran out of gas, if they started because they had their most sustained success in a while. Maybe they started to feel like they had arrived and they could, you know, let up a little bit. I don't know how to explain it. Rick Barnes didn't know how to explain it. So, it was deflating for a lot of people because you strung together two straight wins over Florida and Kentucky that honestly, nobody saw coming on their own, much less back-to-back and then doing it at Rupp. And then, you know, they were starting to get back into the NCAA tournament bubble conversation. You beat Auburn, you get a lot of people's attention, and then you might start saying, hey, a couple of wins in Nashville at the tournament, and then this team has a legit shot of getting in. But That went flushed, I think, on Saturday.
Yeah. Whenever your head coach is already answering questions about the NIT, not good. Will you guys accept a bid to the NIT? Honestly, if I'm Rick Barnes, I'm like, yeah, I'm not going to answer that right now. Like, we're worried about the SEC tournament. But he was like, yeah, sure, of course. We want to we'll just keep playing. These kids need to keep playing. And I'm like, wow, you really answered an NIT question and you still got the SEC tournament in front of you?
It's a fair point, Darren. And, you know, that was just a moment of honesty, I guess, for him. But and it's one that a lot of people have speculated whether they would accept it or not. I never bought that they wouldn't accept one. And there's plenty of people that say, oh, it doesn't mean anything, kids aren't in engage, all that kind of fun stuff. But he wants his kids to practice and play games because they have a lot of people coming back next year. So it doesn't surprise me that he would want to play in that game. But it's not going to excite anybody, the fans or anybody else, no doubt.
What is going to be that they kick off Thursday's action? We'll be doing our show at Bridgestone on Thursday and Friday. They start the day with their game against Alabama. Last year, man, it was great. I mean, the atmosphere was fantastic. You had the usual Kentucky fans. Tennessee fans were jacked sky high, so they came out in droves. What do you think is going to be, you know, the follow-up this year? Where is the fan base with this year's team? Are they going to show up for the SEC tournament on Thursday?
I think it's going to be probably somewhere in the middle, Darren, to be honest with you. I think they'll be some Tennessee fans there. It would have been more, honestly, had they continued the hot streak and beaten Auburn, I think you would have seen people suddenly go looking for tickets and feel like they want to be there, because now they feel like they had a legit shot to make a run. And you could actually make a case that they could make a deep run in the tournament had they beaten Auburn, because we hadn't seen them play this way, even with two straight wins, in a long time. So had they beaten Auburn, now it's a different team that you can view, and you can start to visualize them doing things that would have been completely off the radar earlier. But that didn't happen. So I think there's some people that have tickets that are just going to go, you know, and say, hey, we'll see what happens. And, you know, I don't think everyone's just selling their tickets and going to stay away. I think it'll be a middle ground. There'll be some fans there, see what happens. But it won't be with the energy and the confidence and the volume that they had a year ago. It'll be somewhere in the middle.
Are you coming here?
You know, that's to be determined when I'm going to talk to our powers that be and see what the story is today. So not sure. We'll find out.
If you could put your finger on one thing that sums up this year's team and how we're talking about this team where they are today, how would you sum that up? What went wrong, basically?
I would say the biggest thing was that they didn't have Lamonte Turner. Now, you could say, well, they added Vescovi, they added Uroš Plavšić, but you're still trying to patch a lot of holes from last year. They lost four players to the NBA, and then Lamonte Turner, who was arguably their best player on this year's team, he was never healthy, and then you lose him. So who today has the depth to lose their top five players? Or five of their top six players, because Bowden was in that group too. So, and a lot of people are frustrated they didn't have the roster to overcome that, especially with bigs. But that's still a huge loss, and the Turner one is just not one that, you know, you knew was going to happen. Plus, you know, they get a transfer in Victor Bailey that's not immediately eligible from Oregon. He will be next year. I just think it's kind of like one of those transition years because of what you lost this year and what you have coming in to the program next year. The biggest thing is will these guys take that next step in development next year to go along with the influx of new talent that comes in the program next season? And that way it's just one down year rather than a sustained down year. So I would just say the loss to Lamonte Turner really set them back. A lot of the things that they didn't do well were things that a healthy Lamonte Turner could bring to the table. And by the way, I did talk to Lamonte just a couple of days ago, and he met with the media also. He's in much better spirits now. He talked about how he was down at times, and seeing his team not being able to play, and it's a senior year. But he still says he has workouts with teams planned, and that he'll just starting to shoot again and with that shoulder, and he should be full go by April. So his plans are to try to play professionally, and try to get some opportunities to continue playing basketball. So at least that was a positive from his personal standpoint.
Spring practice starts tomorrow for football, Vince. Give us what is the headline? What's the lead story as they begin?
Well, I think for me overall, it's the coaches, all the changes to the coaching staff. But for the fans, it's going to be five-star quarterback Harrison Bailey. I think that's what people are going to want to hear and read about and see about is Harrison Bailey because he's an early enrollee. You know, all there's six early enrollees. Four of them were in the signing class for Tennessee. Harrison Bailey, Dominic Bailey, a defensive lineman, Jimmy Callaway, who is the second quarterback in the class, and he's at quarterback right now at the moment, but he's one that, you know, some recruiting services listed as a wide receiver. I think that's probably his future because he is a dual threat type of quarterback and super athletic and fast. And then the other two and Cooper Mays is the other one in that class. And the other two were Cooper's brother, Cade Mays, who's the transfer from Georgia, and then Velus Jones, who is the grad transfer wide receiver from USC. Now, we don't know if Cade Mays is going to be immediately eligible or not, but all those guys were introduced at the basketball game Saturday, and Cade Mays got a good response, but Harrison Bailey's response was on a different level. So I think that's where the fan interest is going to start right there with Bailey and watching every throw. And, you know, the fans are going to want to see him on the field quickly. And I'm guessing that Jeremy Pruitt's going to, you know, kind of squash that. I think he's going to talk about there's competition and all that. But, you know, the expectation for the fans, I don't think it's going to match Jeremy Pruitt and Jim Chaney wanting to trot him out there right away. We'll see how spring practice goes, but I would start there as the biggest story. And then after that, it's all the changes to the coaching staff. The veteran coaches were really good at developing players, especially in year two. You're bringing in, other than Jay Graham, you're bringing in some younger coaches that are less of a known commodity. How does that all work? Well, that's another thing. And hopefully we get a chance to talk to them so we can really dive into that subject a little bit more, but that would be number two for me.
More with Vince Ferrara on the other side, talking about all things Vols here on Darren Donick and Chase. Right now, I want to talk about USS, United Structural Systems, a foundation repair and waterproofing company that has served our area here in Middle Tennessee since 1994, and they've got more than 18,000 satisfied homeowners. If you're a homeowner, listen up. Maybe you've noticed with all this rain, and unfortunately we're going to get a lot more rain this week, bowing basement walls if you have a basement, maybe standing water in your crawl space, musty odors or rot in floor joists, condensation on ductwork, cracks in basement floors. Look, all these things are signs on something probably is going on in your house that's probably not good, something you maybe need to get the experts out to take a look at. And you're wondering, why is all this going on? Why is my home wet? Well, maybe you have poor drainage. Maybe you've got water seeping through walls, surface water flooding over walls. There's all kinds of signs. Like I said, if we've had a lot of rain, which we're going to get again this week, this is where you need to get the experts out to your house. They're going to give you a free estimate from USS. They're locally owned. They're licensed and insured. They absolutely believe in their quality of work, their reputation, their integrity. They have all of that. And how about peace of mind as a homeowner? Because these are projects you probably can't tackle. I know I can't. And this is where USS comes into play. So call them and get them out to your house by dialing this number, 615-227-2275. That's 227-2275. You can always go to their website, usstn.com. And as they say, we guarantee our best. Call USS.
We're back. Darren Donick and Chase, ESPN 102.5 The Game, streaming on the Game Nashville app. Chase McCabe, Darren McFarland, Willie Donick. About to head to the airport and continuing our conversation with Vince Ferrara from the Sports Animal WNML in Knoxville. So, Vinny, I know you brought up with spring practice starting, you know, some of the storylines that we're going to be looking at with the six early enrollees that are there. But now that we're in year three is where things really start to heat up, and things were good for the Vols last year with the bowl game and all of that. But What are some maybe some other expectations that Vols fans are going to start to talk about, even though it's way too early as they open spring practice?
Well, I think there's excitement, Chase, over the lines of scrimmage. You know, we hear from fans that are already asking questions and giving their opinions on it. And, you know, the offensive and defensive lines that haven't been very good for a while at Tennessee, that's something that people are excited about. When you think about getting Trey Smith to come back to school for his senior season, having 2 5-star offensive linemen tackles that are now going to be sophomores, that, well, both of them got a chance to play an awful lot last year, especially Wanya Morris on the left side. Then you bring in Cade Mays from Georgia, who was a 5-star offensive lineman that a lot of Tennessee fans wanted. And then you know, you had people, unfortunately, basically tell him, we didn't want you anyway when he went to Georgia. And now he's welcomed back, I'm sure, by those same people with open arms. But that was just a small, you know, percentage of the fan base. But, you know, we don't know if he's going to be eligible or not. But if he is, and there is the expectation that he will be right away, and you get Brandon Kennedy back for, he got a 6-year of eligibility getting his waiver, and he stayed healthy last year for the most part. So now you're talking about having 4 of your 5 offensive linemen being 5-stars, and then a 6th-year returning starting center. That's going to get people excited, and it hasn't been that way for so long. And then on the D-line, here's where I'm a little disconnected from where some fans look at it. Tennessee was much better on the defensive line last year than anyone expected it to be, and I totally admit that. Now, they didn't have any dominant players, and I don't know if they have a dominant player in this group now. People are excited about it because I think a lot of those guys, even if they didn't have big names, played well as a unit, as a rotation, and so they held their own. They weren't spectacular, but they held their own. Then you had a couple of guys that really didn't play, some of the guys from last year's recruiting class. And you had Emmett Gooden, who was projected to start a nose tackle for you, that didn't play due to injury. He's now back this year. Plus, you get the new guys coming in this class. You're hoping for the best with some of those guys. That's where the excitement is generated on the D-line, because fans feel like, hey, we're 3-4 deep. Look at all the guys we already had. We get Gooden back. The guys we had are going to get better. We get Gooden back. We get these new guys. This guy's going to be great. And then that's where you feel like the D-line is in a great spot. I don't think any of their guys, existing guys, including Gooden, are difference makers, all SEC players. And if you're going to do the things that Tennessee fans are going to want to do in competing for the East or winning the SEC down the road, you got to have difference makers on the D-line. You can't just be a bunch of rotation guys that are effort guys. And unless they have one on their roster that hasn't developed yet and had playing time, or anyone in this last signing class, unless one of those guys develop, I don't see any of the existing guys falling in that category. So I'm a little more reserved on the D-line than the offensive line. But to answer your question, Chase, that's the biggest thing that I think fans are excited about, is the lines of scrimmage, which have been the biggest concerns about this team entering the season for I don't know how many years.
I'm excited to hear Jeremy Pruitt announce who will be the starting quarterback week one. Oh, wait, he's probably not going to do that.
Well, yeah, he'll do that. That'll be announced just before kickoff.
Yeah,
you know,
exactly. So. Yeah. That's how it works. Real quick, baseball. Dropped 2 out of 3 to Wright State, their first 2 losses of the year. What'd you make of that?
Yeah, you know, I didn't think they would lose the series. I'm not shocked that they lost a game. Everyone except for Florida now in the SEC has lost a game. But Wright State, I tried to tell people going into the week, Wright State, they were Horizon League champs last year. They won 42 games. they already also had a win over a number one team this year. They won at Louisville, just like Tennessee won against Texas Tech. And this was the third SEC series Wright State had this year. They play in Starkville and at Auburn. So they weren't going to come in here intimidated by Tennessee. So, you know, they pitched better than it looked like on paper. And Tennessee was just off offensively over the weekend. The biggest positive, though, is that expected first-round draft pick left-hander Garrett Crochet made his season debut, and he started game two and looked spectacular, 3 1/3 scoreless with 6 strikeouts. So now you get him back. You get a first-round draft pick back into your rotation for conference play starting on Friday at South Carolina. They have two other really good important pitchers that haven't pitched yet. They are very close to getting back, Camden Sewell and Will Heflin. So that gives a little bit of a boost. But, you know, I think it wasn't – they weren't sharp at all this weekend. I don't think you sound the alarms by any means, because a lot of teams are playing, you know, those smaller schools close or even losing to them. So we'll see how they bounce back from it, but it'll be fun to get conference play going this weekend. And by the way, real quick, the Tennessee baseball program did something very cool. They did a really quick, they put it together in a day. They did a kids camp to raise money for all those in the mid-state that were impacted by those tornadoes. And they put that together and had a great turnout. I was down there, and I just think it's very cool, and it shows the awareness of the athletics department, especially Tennessee baseball. I haven't checked. I need to check on the exact, you know, money that they were able to raise. But just a couple of kids. Will Mabry is from Putnam County, and they're in Cookeville. And then also Sean Hundley is from Mount Juliet. So we talked to both of those guys, and you know, so all their families were okay, but you know, you can tell that they were impacted by everything that's happened. So certainly thinking about all those folks in Nashville strong.
Who gets it done here? Who cuts down the nets on Sunday? Which, by the way, I wish they'd stop doing this on Sunday. I wish they would make the championship game on Saturday night or something. Anyway, who's going to cut down the nets?
Amen on that. I've said that for a while, too. I totally agree with that. You know, it depends on if Kentucky has Hagans. I'll go with Kentucky. If they don't, then I would probably say Auburn again.
By the way, what's going on with Hagans? What's the story on that?
I don't know. I mean, I saw what you guys saw in that Calipari put it out there. He had some personal issues, and that's just a strange situation, and obviously not great timing. They're not going very far if they don't have him.
Nope.
Because I think with them having those three outstanding guards, if they're all dialed in, I think they can go a ways in the tournament. But without him, that's a huge problem.
I agree with you 100%. Thanks for doing this as always. Hope we get to see you this week. If not, we'll talk to you on Monday.
Yep. If I come out there, I'll be in touch. Thanks for having me, guys. Appreciate
it. Sounds good. Vince Ferrara, WNML, the Sports Animal. There in Knoxville. We'll come back. More of Darren, Donick, and Chase on the other side on this Monday. ESPN 102.5 The Game. Donick and Chase, Darren McFarland, Chase McCabe, Willie D has left to head to the airport. Predators are going to Montreal to take on the Canadiens tomorrow night at 6 o'clock. I'll have pregame for you at 5. Everything heard right here on 102.5 The Game. So a couple games in Canada. Montreal tomorrow night. Same time, different city on Thursday. It'll be Toronto. The Maple Leafs, so the Canadiens and the Leafs, and then back-to-backs on the weekend, Columbus and Minnesota, and the first three of these four are all 6 o'clock starts. Blue Jackets at Nationwide Arena. Are you going to that? You still doing that? Are you?
I am.
Yeah.
Yep.
Okay.
We'll be there Saturday.
And then Minnesota on Sunday night. That'll be an NBC Sports Network. So that'll be a nationally televised game. And that'll be a 6:30 start on Sunday. So that's what they're facing. And then they'll get a little time off before a couple of home games. A couple big home games. Colorado and Philadelphia.
Yeah, look, the schedule makers did not do the Preds a favor. I mean, it's a tough schedule. Now, at the same time, I kind of think that, you know, that's a good thing because you're playing playoff games essentially every night, and I like how they respond with those. But you look at this week, I mean, Montreal tomorrow, as you said, Toronto, I mean, that's two tough ones, Columbus, Minnesota. So, I mean, it doesn't get easy on the road. They've had success on the road earlier in the season. Let's see if they can have a productive road trip because, as we've said, they don't have a lot of room for error. I mean, they really can't lose a lot more in order to make the playoffs. So, you know, as they continue to try and make points, I mean, these last two games against Dallas were huge. And I think they were huge not only for the standings but also their confidence of the goalie shut them out twice. And I really like the game that the Predators played. Didn't put up a ton of goals, but you didn't need to.
Well, you knew you weren't against Dallas. That's not what they do.
But their defensive game, I thought, was solid, and they needed that sort of confidence boost. So, got to keep it going on the road this week. But I like how they have started this road trip, which technically they did start it with the win in Dallas. So they came back, but now they'll hit the road again for Montreal tomorrow.
I was watching the Blues and the Blackhawks last night. St. Louis gets the shutout win. Jake Allen, I think, got his second shutout of the season. St. Louis sits atop the Western Conference. St. Louis sits atop the Central. But Colorado is right there knocking on the door. I just, the way it looks and feels with both of them, with actually Colorado's got one game in hand. I just think this whole division, Western Conference, one seed is all coming down to those two teams. I can't imagine it being any different. I mean, I know Vegas is kind of in the picture. Edmonton is kind of, but not really in the picture. I just think it's coming down. I think St. Louis and Colorado, their body of work this season tells you, if you watch them.
Down to the wire?
Yeah, it's going to be those two battling. And think about it. This is what's interesting about this format. A lot of people complain. I get it. But there's no perfect system. People complained with the old system. I mean, that's what's hilarious is people used to complain all the time about the old system, and now there's a new system and people complain about that. But in this case, you're going to want the one seed over the two seed.
Mm-hmm.
Because the two seed means you get Dallas. And would you rather have Dallas or would you rather have the last team in the playoffs, whatever that last team is. Now, could be the Predators.
And look.
That may not be. Look, there's no such thing as an easy game.
Right, and if you're St. Louis and you know you got to face the Predators in the first round, you regular season, postseason, two different things, but you still have to look at, well, they've had our number this year. I mean, they got us in the regular season. So you got to play who you got to play. But
which really means nothing when you get
down
to it.
No, it doesn't, but you still got to, I mean, you play the games for a reason, so you're still going to talk about it. But I agree with you on that. Like, if, you know, oh, I don't want Dallas. I mean, but right now Colorado has Dallas in the first round. I stand by my prediction.
That's not an easy first round. You know, no. St. Louis or Colorado getting Dallas in the first round is brutal. I mean, that's a tough first round. Even though I think both those teams are better.
Sure.
But give me a break. Anything can happen. We know that. That's the beauty of the playoffs. So I think it's coming down to those two teams. I think Dallas is going to be the third seed in the Central. Vegas and Edmonton, I think, are just a little bit better than everybody else in the Pacific. Now, what's interesting is watching all of them, you know, battle.
Calgary's hanging around, though.
Yeah, but Vancouver and, you know, all those teams right there nipping at their heels. I think Calgary's probably going to hang on for that third spot. But look at the wild card. How crazy is the wild card?
I know.
It changes daily. Right now, it's Minnesota and Vancouver.
Yep.
Nashville, Winnipeg, Arizona on the outside looking in.
But Nashville, Winnipeg, and Vancouver all tied in points.
I think Chicago's lost last night. That was a stinging loss.
They've lost two in a row.
I know. They're going the wrong way.
Yep. Nashville and Vancouver each have a game in hand on Chicago and Arizona and Minnesota. So that's something to keep in mind. Yeah, I agree on that. I think Chicago, they needed to keep their forward momentum. And even though they're 4 point or they're 6 points out of the wild card, it's just, I think that's going to be a lot with how jumbled everything is right now.
Yeah, I feel like it's slipping away. Not that anybody really thought they were legit contenders, but they weren't going away, right? They weren't going away. They were still in the mix, and then you drop a couple, and it's like, oh, this time of year, it's like, yeah, maybe starting to slip away. By the way, UC Soros, congratulations to him. He did what no goaltender's ever done in Predators franchise history on Saturday, Thursday and Saturday.
Back-to-back? Yeah.
In a home and home series.
Yeah, it's
never been done.
It's impressive.
Because usually, typically that record is, when you have a home and home, even though it wasn't a back to back, typically a lot of times you'll see, maybe them switch out goalies. Dallas did, right? They had Hudobin here. They had Bishop on Saturday, and I think that probably helps with the stats. But Soros went both games and pitched the shutout, 37 save shutout on. On Saturday. It's a good win.
Yeah.
Took one goal. Get it done.
It was. He has been locked in lately. And, you can... We asked the question of, okay, is this it? Is this the changing of the guard? And you can maybe make that argument. But he's earned it. He's earned that spot. And for the most part, Pekka has been, pretty good in the role that he's been asked to play. But right now, you got to ride the hot hand. I don't see them making any type of change anytime soon of switching goalies. And if I'm being completely honest with you, going into the playoffs, I'm going 74, going UC. The way he's playing, and they're playing well in front of him. That's the other thing that outside of Edmonton, I put Edmonton in its own little category, the third period, that the Predators are playing much better in front of him. Now, there have been times where the goalies are bailing him out. Chicago is a prime example of Pekka got him that point. But for the most part, I like the defensive game that I've seen out of the Preds. But UC Soros has been locked in, and congrats to him for the success that he's had over the last couple games, especially with the shutouts.
And the Dallas Stars did their 50-50 raffle, their split pot on Saturday, where they raised $10,620. From people buying raffle tickets at the game against the Predators. Then the Stars Foundation matched that for tornado relief here. So they sent over $21,000 here to our area. Cool. It's been really neat to see everybody stepping up and helping out as those efforts continue, by the way. We're just a week removed, a little bit less than a week removed. And, yeah, there's still a lot going on. Willie said that a lot of East Nashville still does not have power. Think about it. Here, we still don't have... Our phone lines are still so many people affected that they're not even close. I've seen a lot of places, Germantown, or some of the places in Germantown got condemned. They're just not structurally sound, and so everybody has to get out.
Yep.
Everybody had to get out before this weekend and find a new place to live. And so just still thinking about the people that were affected from the tornadoes. We'll come back and wrap up the third hour of Darren, Donick, and Chase next. How was your Walmart experience on Saturday?
It was good. A lot of you came out and introduced yourself. It was good to meet some people that tweet at us and listen to the show. Had a couple of other people that I actually knew stop by. So had a good turnout. And then Nash was there. So got to hang out with him for a little bit.
He's kind of a rock star.
He's all over the place, too. I mean, he's, you know, you have little kids run up, and he'll go and talk to them, and then, you know, you throw a ball of yarn, and he gets distracted and runs after it. So, I mean, he's just
go squirrel.
Yeah, he's a cat on the move. No, he didn't chase the squirrel. I was wondering if he would, but no, you pull out some yarn, Nash will go after it. So,
it's a good. You had a good turnout.
Yeah, it was good.
You had a Forsberg autographed jersey.
Had two of them.
Two. Wow.
So we'll be calling some winners and some tickets to give away as well. So yeah, so that was pretty cool. It was an authentic jersey that he signed. So appreciate everybody for coming out. And also the big thing too was we had shopping carts full of stuff that people donated for us to take to tornado relief. So that was really cool to see that people were going in Walmart. They were like, hey, you know, what do you guys need? And they'd go in Walmart and come out with bags full and donated stuff. So really appreciate that and everyone showing up.
This Wednesday night from 7 until 8, Smashville Live. The special guest, SEC Commissioner Greg Sankey. How yes. cool is that?
Yeah, it'll be cool. He'll be there for the first segment is the plan, and then I believe we'll have some other things too. But Greg Sankey will be there for that first segment of Smashville Live.
Smashville Live brought to you by New Amsterdam Vodka, Spring Hill Heating and Cooling, and Red Spirits and Wine. I was looking at, you know,
it's appropriate that, you know, a wine and liquor store, you know, sponsors that show.
Why is that?
It just says.
Okay. I'll take your word for it.
Yeah, there you go.
We'll be in the arena on Thursday and Friday for the SEC men's basketball tournament, and that is something that's going to be new, is the fact that the alcohol ban has been lifted in the SEC, and so we're so used to there not being alcohol sales, and the area we've been in has always been kind of curtained off, and
I mean, they've had us.
Well,
like,
not kind of.
I mean, you can't even look in there.
You cannot see anything. We can't look out, and nobody can look in.
You'd have to walk all the way around.
All the way around.
You know, I knew, because I would set it up for the broadcast, I knew where, you know, I could move some barrels and sneak through, and I did that, and I thought I was going to be tackled. Like, just to go to the bathroom. Now, they had that locked down, but it's going to be different this year.
Yep. It's not a VIP area where you'd have a special ticket or whatever to go in there and buy alcohol, because that has changed. You know, I was looking as the Predators take off and they head to Montreal. You know, we were talking about the travel earlier and how, you know, this what's going on right now has changed everything. And I said, I saw over the weekend where you can go from New York City to Italy for like $275.
Yeah.
And that's obviously unheard of. But if you wanted to go to Italy right now, you can go on the dirt cheap. I got an email this morning from...
I got the same one.
Did you? From Southwest, yep. Because we both have flights down the road on Southwest, and they are basically telling all their, you know, their customers that basically their cleaning habits, right? And says, you know, we spend between 6 and 7 hours cleaning each aircraft every night. And as of right now, they've enhanced that to overnight cleaning procedures where, you know, they're basically up. And I don't want to get into all the, you know, they use high-grade hospital stuff. As we know, hospitals have to keep everything disinfected and very, very clean. And he was saying that that's exactly what they're doing inside the cabins in the interior of these planes, and that they're even going to go even further with this. We actually had this conversation over the weekend. Some people were talking about, like, how much, because this, a couple times I went into several places, like I'm going to say 4 places this weekend, and I looked for hand sanitizer or cleaning wipes of any sort. Nothing. Shelves empty. So we were talking about that this weekend. I was telling some people, like, man, you can't find it anywhere, at least where I went. I mean, those shelves completely empty. All they had was the tags to show you what was supposed to be there. And we actually got to talking about the flights. And, you know, we've taken a lot of flights together, and I'm pretty I'm trying to use the right word. There was a word I was going to use, and I'm not going to use that.
Probably good. When in doubt.
I like to wash my hands a lot.
Yeah.
You know, I'm a pretty clean person when it comes to that stuff.
Right.
And it was brought up, like, how much do you know, when you get something to eat or drink on a plane, like, how much do you wipe down the tray? And because this person was telling me what they take on a plane for every, they travel a lot. And they have cleaning wipes. They have hand sanitizer. All the stuff that they take on every flight. I'm like, why? They're like, because I wipe down the trays. I wipe down the seat in front of me. And I guess I was kind of surprised that I don't do something like that because of how I am. But when I thought about it, if I was being honest, I don't wipe down the tray. And I'm like, why don't I wipe down the tray? I don't know what the person before me was doing on that tray. Like, why don't
I don't do anything like that?
I know. Though. I don't either. But why?
But here's,
why don't we?
Here's the thing with me. I thought about, because, yeah, you look, I'm taking this seriously and thinking about it. But I was brought up that I'd run around outside barefoot and, you know, fall and skin my knee. And, you know, my mom or my grandmother would be, you know, like, all right, here, let's put some Neo on that. You're good. You know, get after it, dust off, go back outside. I mean, I'm a pretty clean person. I'm careful, but I'm not one of those that, you know, I don't walk in a room and immediately have a can of Lysol and start.
Yeah, no, I'm like, not. I'm not,
and I've never been that way, and I never will be. But I just kind of go about my life. So, yeah, this is a threat. It's obviously concerning, but I'm also not going to let it stop me from just being me and doing my normal thing. So, you know, I'm looking at flights to LA, and they've gotten cheaper since I started looking at that.
Look,
so I'm
if
like,
you're
right
in the market to travel right now, and you're okay with traveling, this is the time to do it. How much cheaper are they?
When I started looking last week.
Oh, no, you got to look today.
Well, here's the thing. No, I did. So when I started this process of my LA excursion last week, it was looking like my, you know, each way was going to be about $200. It's down to...
That's it?
It's down
to... That's actually not bad at all.
Well, it's down to about $140.
You can go to L.A. round trip for less than $300?
Yeah.
Wow. Yeah. That puts it in perspective.
Yeah. And so I've now budgeted the extra $50 to take a little detour over in the desert.
Uh-huh.
And
in Arizona? That desert?
No, Nevada.
Oh, Nevada.
Yeah,
that
Nevada
desert.
Yeah. And then fly back from there to here. So this is all coming together. And I can tell you right now, in late May, early June, my happy self will be sitting in several baseball stadiums on the West Coast. That is the plan.
Because you have not frequented any of those.
I've never been to California.
Oh, wow.
Been to Vegas. But I've never been to California.
Okay.
So.
You're going SoCal.
SoCal.
So are you going to try to San Diego, LA, and Anaheim?
Yep. There is a, at the end of May and then the first week of June, this work, tell me that this is not perfect. So I would see Padres, Marlins, okay, whatever.
But an easy ticket.
But Petco is, you know, a really nice park from what I've been told. So I want to go there. Then I could do a couple games of Angels, Yankees. At Angel Stadium.
That's big time.
And then, to start the week, to start off June, Braves, Dodgers at Chavez Ravine.
There you go.
So, that works out for me.
That'll be a good little trip.
Yep. Lots of baseball.
Yeah. Hopefully they'll let you in the place.
I know. That'll be my luck. I'll get all this booked. It'll be close to fans.
Yeah, they'll be playing in front of no one. Fans are not allowed.
I'll have to ask. You know, Caleb Joseph, you know how that went for him when he was signing autographs for nobody.
And waving to empty stands.
Yep.
All right, we'll come back and kick off the fourth and final hour. Talk a little bit more about your favorite subject.
Tommy?
TB12.
He still hadn't tweeted me.
We're gonna let you read your tweet that you put out to him this morning, right before the show. We'll get into all that and more here on ESPN 102.5 The Game.
You know what? It sucks to be bored. But when I get on my phone and play real casino games on SpinQuest.com, the time flies by. That two-hour wait at the DMV seems like 10 minutes. Play your favorite slots, live blackjack, live craps, with a live dealer. New players' $30 coin packs are on sale for 10 bucks. Play SpinQuest.com and you'll never be bored again.
SpinQuest is a free-to-play social casino. Void where prohibited. Visit SpinQuest.com for more details.